Way to go, small groups representing. We'll figure out who. Melissa, you want these? We got your notes? Okay. Awesome. Domination. All right, I want to see real quick a hand raised. Look at that. You look so good in your driver's license picture. I want to see real quick a hand raised if you are a part of the best small group. Just in general, just the best small group of all time that's ever existed, right? Come on, look at this. That is so true. I love it. I love it. I got to be honest, guys, I'm feeling like so much energy and so much excitement around small groups. If you aren't in one, get in one, because you very well may not even be saved if you're not in a small group. So it's just kidding. But Kevin, you're yeah, okay. We got confirmation of the deodorant. Thank you, David. There you go. All right, so what are we talking about? What's our series right now talking about? E3, encounter, equip, and engage. There you go. Awesome. So here we go. Let's pull up the E3, what we got here, the mission statement, what we got, who we are a place, everybody together, a place where all youth can encounter God, be equipped as followers of Jesus, and engage their world. Come on. So we've talked about encounter, and when we mention encounter, we encounter the life-giving presence of God by looking for Him in every moment. We have expectation for the radical, the impossible, believing that God can move supernaturally through anyone and at any time. And then last week we talked about equipping, and you can pull this up. We are equipped by God to be disciples of Jesus, intentionally growing in the truth of the gospel and building genuine community through small groups, And then we got engaged this week. I'm excited. This is what we're talking about this week. We're talking about engage. Can we pull this up? Let's read this together. We take every opportunity to engage our world with the transformational love of God. We have predetermined that we love and welcome everyone before we've ever even met. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this opportunity to speak. Thank you so much for this opportunity to learn and to grow, become more like you today than we were yesterday, and tomorrow more than today. We love you. Teach us. We are yours. We surrender. Show us your will. Show us your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Awesome. So, engage. This is the third part of our process. It's a circle. It is something that, it's not a one, step one, step two, step three. It is something that we do all the time. And so, but if you aren't doing all three, if you're only encountering God and you're not doing anything, remember the illustration we did a couple weeks ago of the mirror, and we only had the black side showing, and black color absorbs light, right? It doesn't refract any light, and so it just absorbs it. All you're doing is encountering God. You're not doing anything. If all you do is encounter and then equip, and you're growing yourself and you're becoming more like Jesus every day, that's good, but you're not really being fully equipped if you aren't living it out and giving it away, because that's what Jesus did. That's who we are. That's who we're called to be. You are not fully engage is so key to what we're doing. So this is engaging. Engaging is doing something with what you've received through encountering and what you've built through equipping to impact the world around you. The world around you. Engage is the overflow of your love for God and others. It's the overflow. So you encounter God, you are equipped by God, and then it just naturally overflows. If you're passionate about something, it just naturally comes out. Who here has a crazy friend who's doing fantasy football? Is there anybody got a crazy friend that anytime they talk to you, they're like, so my fantasy points, I won like 3 points and like all this stuff. And They're, every single time they're talking about fantasy football. Okay, who is that crazy person that's always talking about fantasy football? There you go. Y'all are weird. No, when you're passionate about something, you find a way to talk about it. It just comes out, right? Just naturally happens. And so it's just like engaging. It's the natural overflow of your love for God and your love for others. This is our verse. This is what makes us us. This is what God has spoken over us. Acts 1:8. This is where encounter, equip, engage all come together. So the disciples have been equipped by Jesus for 3 years. In his last statements, I imagine, I've said this before, I just imagine him standing there. And he's beginning to rise up, to ascend into heaven. And his feet are lifting off the ground. And he's saying, you will receive power. Wait, guys, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Guys, you will encounter my presence after I've equipped you for all this time. He's saying, wait, be equipped. You will have an encounter, and then you will be my witnesses. You're just going to share the stuff that you're given. It's not going to be complicated. You're just going to share what you've seen. You're going to share what you know. You're going to share what you've been given, and you'll be my witnesses in the place, in your neighborhood, in your larger community, in the community, in the world around you, and all the way to the ends of the earth. That's where you're going. Okay, that's what you're doing. It's encounter, equip, engage. It's using the power, the powerful transformational presence of God in impacting, engaging our world with it. This is a commissioning. This is a call to every follower of Jesus. Say, everyone. Come on. This is for absolutely every person. This is calling you to go to your world that you're around. And in fact, as we talk about encounter, equip, engage, honestly, guys, if you aren't engaging, if you just find yourself in your faith that all you're doing is encountering and growing and honestly, this may shock some of you, but I genuinely question if you have a relationship with Jesus. I really do. Because if you have a relationship with Jesus, it's something that you're naturally it's going to come out. The Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit are things that come out of you. The gifts of the Spirit are things that you use, you give, you move in. Honestly, if you guys aren't giving this, what God has given to you, to the world around you, I really, really genuinely question your relationship with the Lord in and of itself. And I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to engage. Engage the world around you. If you say, honestly, it is like engaging is so key. We talk about the importance of equip. We talk about the importance of encounter. But engage, truly, I find that more often than not, if someone finds their relationship with God boring, usually it's because they're not engaging. And so it's a lot like it's kind of like an infomercial, you know. And have you ever seen an infomercial? ShamWow. Got OxyClean, stuff like that. And so it's just like that. It's like comes on. Do you lack purpose in life? Do you find that your relationship with God is boring? Do you question why you even come to church? Well, then I've got the solution for you. For 12 easy payments of $19.99, you can get engaged. And engage will save your relationship with Jesus. Go ahead and do it right now. Call right now and we'll give you three free, but that's not, and you know, just keep going. It's a lot like that. It's like, exactly. It is 1-800-GET-SAVED. That's one extra digit. Dang it. But this is, that's what it's all about. It's this idea where if you go, man, my relationship with God is just, if you describe it as boring, or if your friends describe it as boring, as something that's like, man, all it is this restrictive thing. It's just this thing that you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do that. And it's just so like, oh, and then you got to go to church and early on Sundays, and you go to church on Wednesdays, you're crazy. That's nuts. Why would you do that? That's just more time that you got to be bored. And if you go, man, I'll tell you guys what. A relationship with God truly lived out where you are encountering, equipping, and engaging, it is a lot of things. It is exciting. It is scary. It is difficult. It is growth oriented. It's so many different things, but boring is never one of them. It's never one of them. There are seasons where you feel like you're fighting. There are seasons where you feel like you're soaring. There are seasons where you feel like you have nothing left to give. There are seasons where you feel like you could conquer the stinking world. But it's never boring. If you find your relationship with God is boring, you probably need to step up your game in giving what you've received. And so this is what we're talking about. Honestly, guys, we have two words that we are declaring over this year. And the first one is faith. We talk about faith and having faith in our encounters and believing with everything in us that, man, God is going to show up. When is it going to happen? It's not about if, it's about when and how. How is God going to do it? What is he going to do in my life? This is so I'm expecting. I have that faith. And then love. This is the strongest, the hardest thing that we are going to have to work on, because in a generation where so much of your friends are living selfishly, are living, it's the selfie generation. Where we look at ourselves, we reflect everything around us based off how it makes us appear or how it changes our brand or how it makes us feel. And instead of thinking about others, even when we think about others, we're just thinking about how that makes us look by looking at it. And this is something that is a complete paradigm shift in our minds that we all have to make. As humankind, we have this sinful nature in us that wants to think about us. Yet we are challenged to step out of that and think about the world around us. To start loving radically. We love. This is what we're talking about. And what I want to do, if we can pull up the engage statement right there. I'm just going to walk through it real quick. And so we take every opportunity. Every opportunity. This is something where it's not just something that you go, hey man, I'm going to engage on Thursdays because I'm all pumped up after M&8. Or I'm going to do this only at this time. No, our eyes are always open. Our eyes are always open, because the crazy thing about engaging is it feels like we think about it as giving and we're losing things, but I don't know if I've ever had a time where I've engaged, given something away, and I haven't had an encounter with God in that same moment. Where I go, holy smokes, God, that was awesome. You ever serve someone or do something like that, and you're like, dang, that was sweet. I feel like I learned more. I feel like I received more than they did. That engaging builds you. And so every opportunity to engage our world. This is key. Our world. I want every single one of you to say, my world. My world. Your world is different than the world of the person sitting next to you. The way you see it, the people you're around, the influences around you, the way that people respond to you versus they respond to your friend, the classes that you go to, the school that you go to, the job that you go to, the family that you have, the neighborhood that you live in, everything, your personality, the way that you perceive things, the way that you are perceived, every single person in here, every single person throughout all of eternity is different, is created uniquely. Is created to do something, to have a unique, engaging opportunity for the world around. You live in a different world than anybody else, and no one else will be able to impact your world like you can. And so I ask you guys, honestly, if you don't go to your world, who will? Who's going to go in your place? Who's going to be the Tyler? Who's going to be the Bree? Who's going to be the Michaela? Who's going to be that person for your friends, for your family, for your neighbors, for the people that are around you? No one else can do what you do. No one else can be who you're created to be. This is your world. You don't wait on anybody else to do it. This is you. So we got to engage, take every opportunity to engage our world with the transformational love. This is something truly I believe with everything in me. God's love transforms our lives. It transforms how we operate, how we live. I believe that if you have received God and you say, man, yes, you're knocking out the door of my heart. I'm going to invite. Yes, you can come in. I'm going to give my life to you. I'm going to believe in you. I'm going to live like it. You have been transformed by God. You are in the midst of being transformed by the love of God. It is life changing. It is life altering. It is something that will change your life here on earth. And it drastically changes your life in eternity. And it's transformational love. And then it's the love of God, transformational love of God. This is something that I want to emphasize here, that our love that we give is not our love. Okay? The love that we give is not our love. We don't love with our capacity to love. We love with His capacity to love. Because His capacity is unending, undying, unconditional. It is everlasting. It is eternal. It is huge. It is something that can't be stopped, that can't be thwarted, that can't be destroyed. It is the biggest, greatest transformational thing in all of the universe, in all of eternity. It's God's love. And if you think, I can't love that person, you're probably right, but God can. And so therefore, you can love them with His ability, not with yours. Right? Come on. I believe that we are called to love other people with His love. His love. His love is a love that's so great that not only did Jesus lay down His life, God gave His Son. There are people in this world that I would give my life for in a heartbeat. No problem. But there's not a soul in this world I would give my child's life for. That's a love I don't even comprehend. I don't even get it. How in the world could you love someone like that? How in the world, how could you love someone who, especially people who aren't deserving, right? We all have people in our life that are just not deserving of love. But love isn't conditional like that. God's love is nothing on heaven or earth. Nothing in heaven or hell, no sin, no angel, no demon, nothing can separate you from God's love. This is the unstoppable love of God. That's what we love with. And this is one of our values. One of our values is we love everyone, not just with our own capacity to love, but with God's love. And we look like it. There's a key. That is difficult. To say you love someone and actually look like it. That is hard. And so we have transformational love of God. We have predetermined that we love and welcome everyone before we've ever even met. This is one of our keys. This is one of our values in its community. It is this idea that I don't care who's coming. I don't care who I walk into. I don't care who is at my school. I don't care who I brush shoulders with. I know before I've ever even met them that I love them. I choose to love them. I don't care how offensive they are. I don't care how mean they are. I don't care about any of that. I will love them. Now, there's a big difference what love looks like in the world and what love looks like in Scripture. Because love in Scripture, it desires the best for someone else. It goes, man, I want the best for you. I want, and what is that best? So there's a lot of people in our lives that they may have hurt you. They may have abused you. They may have done unthinkable things to you or to your family or to your friends. And those people are the people that seem the most unlovable. Yet, are we called to love them? Yes. Are we called to trust them? Not always. There's a difference. Are we called to pray for them? Yes. pray for your enemies, but does that mean that I'm going to surround myself with someone who is legitimately dangerous to me? No. But am I going to love them? Am I going to wish that, am I going to pray that they get the love of God all over their life and that they get transformed and that they get to step into eternity and they get to live a life with purpose and that they get to live a life so filled with grace because they need more grace than I may need because of the things that they've done. So God, I pray your grace over them. I pray your love over them. I pray your forgiveness over them because I can't do it. Help me to have your love for that person. That is, if honestly, this is something where if you have experienced the transformational power of the story of Jesus and you believe that he can change the life of the people around you and you can save them from eternal suffering in hell and if you love them, then what's going to be the natural overflow? Engaging. You will naturally share this good news with them, no matter who they are. If you truly believe that God is valuable, if you truly believe that God is good, if you truly believe that you have been transformed by him and that they can be too, and you choose to love them anyway, you're going to naturally give them the good news. And I'm talking about friends, I'm talking about family, I'm talking about enemies. This is, and not always with enemies are you the one who's supposed to give them that good news. A lot of times that it's someone, but you're praying in that direction, okay? So the people around you. Honestly, this is the difference. Love accepts, okay? Love accepts who you are, where you are, how you are. Love is not judgmental. Love is not condemning. Love is so accepting. It is so inviting. It is so welcoming. Yet, at the same time, love is challenging, it's pursuing, it's pulling them forward. It's saying, look, I love you so much, I don't want you to stay where you're at right now. I want you to grow. I hope you love me that much that you don't want me to stay where I'm at and you want me to grow. Because I don't love where I'm at right now and I want to grow. I want to continue to see God move in and through me. I want you to desire that same thing for the people around you. And so that's why we engage. Not to say, hey, look, where you're at, I love you in it. And so just stay there. No, that's not love. If someone is in a dangerous place and you love them, will you not pull them away from there? My kids playing on railroad tracks, I am going to pull them away from there saying, hey, that is not safe. You never know when a train's coming at 60 miles per hour, and that's a heck of a lot faster than you can run with your 3-inch legs. So this is, and so what we got, we invite, we give God's love because we love. If Sarah Gann can come up on stage real quick. Come on up, Sarah. What I want to do is I want to celebrate real quick because Sarah has given so much of herself to her school, to her friends, to the places where she's called. She is a picture that we have of what engaging looks like, unlike anybody else in here. And I want us to learn from her. How in the world, why, and how do you do it? How do you invite? Every week she's got someone coming with her. How do you do it?
All right, so I'll start with a little bit of my testimony first. About 5 years ago, I lived in Colorado Springs, and we went to a church, and our pastor gave us this challenge. Go out, find someone you know who is unchurched, and bring them to church with you. Well, I thought about it, and I knew no one. That's pretty sad, because I was stuck in my own bubble. I was stuck in doing what I thought was best and really just stuck. And so when we moved to Council Bluffs, Iowa, things kind of changed because you have to make new friends. And so I thought, well, I can take this challenge to this because I don't have anything to lose here. And so I can step out of my comfort zone because really what's left? So I started inviting some kids to churches saying, hey, you're my friend. You want to come hang out with me and we can learn about Jesus and have some fun and whatever. And they're like, yeah, yeah. And I was so surprised about how people would just say yes. Because the truth is, guys, your friends are so empty inside. Your friends, even the ones that smile at you, the ones that seem like they're the most popular or they have it good, they're so empty inside. You guys don't even know the stories that your friends have that they haven't told you. And they are just yearning for something. They are yearning for God's love. And so you have the responsibility to show them God's love. So for me, engagement looks like a whole lot of things. There are people who will be really receptive and say, oh yeah, I'd love to come to church with you. I'd love to do this. I'd love to come to small group. Sounds fun. But there are also people who will be like, nah, that's not my thing. I don't do that. And that's okay, because engagement isn't about you. Engagement is about God's work through you. So if someone says, yeah, that's because God has prepared their heart to come with you guys. And if someone says no, you're planting a seed, and God knew. So you have to, when people say no to me, I don't push them. I don't say, well, hey, you've got to come because, you know, Jesus is the only way, blah, 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 which is true. But if you're going to shove something down someone's throat, it's not going to make me want to go anywhere. It's not going to make anyone want to go anywhere. Instead, you show them God's love. You have to show people God's love in so many different ways. It can be writing a note and leaving it on a desk. It can be asking someone, hey, how was your day? Because many, many people go through the motions every single day, and someone might not even ask you, hey, how was your day? How are you doing? What interests you? Be real with people, too. Don't go to church and be all Christ-like, which is great, guys. But if you get back to your school or back home and you're just living a double life, people aren't going to see God through you. So you have to be upfront with them. You have to act God's love. And really, it's not too hard when you love Jesus so much that it just overflows through you. And yeah.
Can we give Sarah a hand? Come on. I love it. Yeah, you better stand up. Come on. The amount of boldness that it takes, the amount of courage that it takes, and the faith that it takes is so honorable. I want for us to model our lives after the boldness and the passion and the purpose that Sarah lives with. Okay? So can we go ahead and bring this stuff up? We got a little illustration of this. And what I need is I need seven volunteers real quick. David, come on up. I need four guys. Who we got? All right, Evan, come on up. Ori, come on up. There you go. I need some girl. Come on. One, two, three. I need another girl. Oh, wait. No, we're good. That's seven. Four and three. My bad. There you go. And go ahead and stand on the tarp. What we got here. Go ahead and come on down. We got a... All right. So this is a picture. This is a little picture. Go ahead and come on over here. And actually, if you two ladies come over this way, go ahead and step on the tarp. And Sarah, right over here. Let's see. Where are we at? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We're missing. We are missing a guy and a girl. Right? 1, 2, 3. There you go. I'm going to actually, hold on. There you go. My man right here, Caden. There you go. Up top. Dude, a product of engagement right there. I love it. So, and then one lady. Need one lady. Come on up. I already called you up. I already called you. Like, seriously, girl. There you go. All right. So what we got here, we got it, Melissa. Thank you. And so we got some paint, and it's red because God's love is red, right? At least Jesus' blood was red. So what we got, this is washable paint. Don't you worry. And what we got, no, I'm not going to pour it over you. That'd be so weird. So, but this is what happens. You see, what happens is you come to church, you come to Emanate, and you encounter God. Go ahead. And you encounter God, and you get some of God on you, right? And you get some of God, and you receive it, but then you got to internalize, you got to own it. So you got to catch it, and then you own it. Go ahead and put it on your shirt. There you go. And you own it, and you go, man, this is not just something that's on me. It's who I am. It's a part of me. And then how you operate from here is Emanate ends, and you go ahead, and you start talking to the friends at school. Go ahead. Start talking to your friends at school, and you shake hands. There you go. Just shake a hand. There you go. You all right? Shake another hand. Here we go. There you go. Shake their hand. Look, and just one by one, you're encountering them. You're loving them. You're giving them the love of God. And there you go. And then every once in a while, you get an opportunity, and one of these people really responds. And they're one of those people that go, man, I get it. That's really cool. You got something different in you. Yes, I would. And you're saying, man, I got this youth conference that's coming up. I got this. I'm going on Wednesday night to this service. I'm doing all this stuff. It's really cool. And that person, go ahead, go over to David. And that person just really gets God's love. And you just love them so hard that you give them a hug, right? You give them a hug. There you go. And look at that. She got a little bit extra love on him from the, oh yeah, it's washable. You're gold. Don't worry about it. And so David, come on over. And so you invite David. He comes over to church, and go ahead. And then you both get an opportunity to encounter. Go ahead. You both encounter God. You internalize it. Go ahead. Put it on your shirt, David. There you go. Go ahead, Sarah. Come on. And there you go. And then you go back to school. Right? And then you go back to your workplace and you hug people and you high five. Go ahead, shake hands, and you start encountering people and you start engaging people. And it's little things here and there. It's not always huge stuff. It's just loving someone, giving them, come on, look at this. And then someone, now go ahead, find someone, give them a hug, and they are really receptive. And only one of the people is really receptive. That's it. And then you know what happens? They come to church and they encounter God. Come on over. There you go. And then you are equipped and you own it. Put it on your own shirt. Go ahead. David, Sarah, go ahead. Again, you guys brought them. So you're at church. You're encountering God as well. You own it. You equip it. And then you go find someone else and you engage in your world. And let's not get too crazy. But we got, it's totally washable. This is like kid washable. So it's meant to pour on carpet. And yeah. So not quite pour on carpet. But look at this. Go ahead. Start giving hugs. Start loving people. We are engaging. We are, well, hold on. Not me. Don't engage me. I already got Jesus. No, I'm kidding. There you go. And so look at this. Everybody looks different up here now. We got the love of Jesus. We got engagement going on all over. And this is crazy. There are 7.5 billion people. Listen to this. 7.5 billion people. Say billion. Billion. Yeah, like a real hard B. That's almost a P. Billion. There you go. Awesome. 7.5 billion people. So let's start with this scenario. Sarah is like really incapacitated and can only reach one person a year. Can only bring one person a year to Jesus, which is not true because this happens all the time with Sarah. That's called a Tuesday for Sarah. And so go ahead. Yeah, give him a hand. And so one person a year. And then that person that she engages goes and engages one person a year. And then the people that they engage can engage one person a year. But it takes a year, right? So 1 year, you get one person. After a year, you have two. After another year, you have four. After another year, you have eight, right? Makes sense? Just like this? So then, guess how many years to impact, to capture the entirety of the 7.5 billion people in the world? 32. 32 years. In 32 years, the entire world could be saved if we were just doing our job for one person a year. One person a year. Give him a hand. Go ahead and find your seats, guys. And so what do you do? What do you do? It's three steps. It's you catch it. You get that love on you. You own it. You say, this is mine. This isn't just something that God has. This is something that I have. And you own it. And then you give it away. And you encounter people. And you engage people. And they encounter God. And you encounter God. And it's amazing what starts to happen. Because it's the same. Encounter, equip, engage. You catch it. You own it. You give it. It's just how we operate. It's how we're supposed to be. Go ahead and stand up. And this is something that I want to challenge every single one of you in here. Because the challenge, more often than not, the problem is not fear. The problem, more often than not, it's not I'm scared of what someone's going to do. More often than not, it's that our fear outweighs our love for them. The problem's not fear. The problem is love. If you look at people and you say, God, give me your eyes for the people around me, the people that walk by me in school, the people that walk by me at Walmart, the people that walk by me at my workplace, the people I encounter and I see there, like, if you say, God, give me your eyes for them, and you see how many people are walking right by you straight into hell, and you have the opportunity to engage them with God's love, just give them a glimpse of the hope of eternity. Like, seriously, how can we not? How much? There's an atheist, and he's a comedian, Penn and Teller, and he says, man, you know what? I don't even believe in God. I don't know, whatever. But you know what I find so offensive is when a Christian who truly believes that I'm going to hell couldn't care less about me doing it. He says, that's the most offensive thing to me. Someone walks up to me, gives me a tract, gave me a Bible, and I'm like, awesome, dude, thank you so much. And he goes, because he realizes how little we love. How little we love if we don't engage those around us. If we don't say, man, I believe that what I have has transformed me. And it can transform you. What you need. I just got my hair cut yesterday. And this lady's talking about her husband and the problems that she's got going on there. And I say, I got to be honest. The thing that saved my marriage, the only thing that has grounded my marriage has been my faith. Do you have a faith? Do you know Jesus? And then we start getting into that. And it starts this conversation. But honestly, I wasn't just trying to be like super spiritual and be super good or anything. It's the overflow. Man, I want to help you. You want to know what's helped me? Jesus. Man, you have no hope. I want to give you hope. You want to know who gave me hope? Jesus. Man, you are really going through junk. I can't make your junk better, but you know who can? Jesus. And naturally, if you realize what he's done in you, you give it out because you've encountered God. He has blessed you. He has given you amazing. He's given you gifts, and then you're growing that in you, and then you give it away. Because this illustration would not be near as fun if Sarah just stuck her hand in the paint and stopped. Right? How much are we changing? Are we influencing the world around us? How much are we engaging the world around us? And that's what I want to pray before anything else, before we do anything else. I just want to pray, God, give us your heart. It's not a problem of fear. It's a problem of love. God, give us your love. We want to love with your love. Go ahead and bow your head. Close your eyes. We want to love with your heart. Just start asking God for his heart for the people around you. Start asking God for his heart. And if you believe that this is you and you want God's love, go ahead and come on forward. If you want God's love for the people around you, go ahead and come on forward. And this is your altar place. And you say, man, this God, I want it. I want it. Give me your heart. Give me your eyes. Go ahead and come on forward if that's you. If you say, God, I need your love for the world around me. want all of us praying in that direction. I want all of us pursuing God in that direction. God, help me to love the people around me like you do. Help me to see them with your eyes. Help me to see where they're going. Help me to see their heart. God, because honestly, I need you. They need you. How can I live just for myself when there's so much need in this world? There's so much need in this world. Jesus, I believe over every single person in here, over every single student that is here at the altar, that you have equipped every one of them to reach someone, to reach people, to engage their world and to impact their world like nobody else. You have equipped them to impact their world like nobody else. And Jesus, I believe, I pray for boldness and I pray for love. I pray for boldness and I pray for love. I pray that the weight of our love for those around us would outweigh our fear of what we may be perceived as. Because I know in eternity, the one thing that will matter, it will not be our social status, will not be our popularity. It'll be truly what matters, and that is our relationship with you and those we have impacted. And so Jesus, I pray that. I pray that over every person in this room. Come on.
There's no shadow.
Come on, we're declaring, we're talking about God's love. So what we're doing, we're receiving it, and we're praying that we can give it. Come on.
There's no wall you won't kick down, I won't tear.
Ask God for his heart. Ask God for the same heart to multiply itself in you. Come on.
There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. Oh, there's no wall you won't kick down, I won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. Oh, there's no wall you won't kick down, I won't.
This heart, the same love that you have for us, that we give it out. Lord, I pray the same love that you have for us, that we give it out. Lord God, I pray for that same passion, that unrelenting, unstoppable love. God, will we engage, God, as we encounter you, as we are equipped by you, God, may our natural overflow response be to engage our world. God, emanate is a place that gives away what we've been given, that encounters you, that it engages our world. God, that's just how we operate. That's just what we do. I believe that our schools will be transformed. I believe that our homes will be transformed. I believe our workplaces will be transformed because of the way that we love, because of the way that we love those around us. I declare this in Jesus' name. I declare it. I declare it. We're running over. So if you need to grab some siblings, but what I want to do right now, I want to challenge you. We got people waiting at the top of the stairs. We got leaders waiting. And what we got, I want every single person to take some invites. Every single person in here, you got Thursday, Friday, and I want you to invite 3 people. I want you to take on the challenge and just invite 3 people. Not they all have to come, but I want you to invite them, okay? And that's your challenge. We're going to finish up this song. If you got to go, you can go. But if you want to stay and encounter, you want to stay and finish the song, stay here at the altar. This is our altar.